And welcome to
2 o'clock with Keller.
Bring your tea
and leave with more.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
So on today's episode, we'll be discussing After Sun.
Exactly, because we can't get enough of Paul.
No.
We've gone from normal people to streetcar to After Sun. So we've seen him as a teenager, becoming a dad, and now a dad. Involved.
Oh my god, yeah.
Very linear progression for him.
Wow. God, is there anything else that we can do for him? I don't know.
I mean,
that's what's
actually amazing. Yes, there will be a new fantastic film with him in October.
With what, Gladiator?
Oh, no, I wasn't thinking of Gladiator.
Oh, no, that one that we sent each other.
Yeah.
With Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah, I think that comes out this year.
Oh, does it? I didn't read the caption. That's exciting, isn't it? I bet that'll be so good, because isn't it kind of thriller vibes?
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, I'm very excited to unpack, discuss, chat about this film.
Yeah, I have no idea what your thoughts are so far.
I have no idea what your thoughts are either. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
But we'll pause and begin with what we've been consuming.
Hey Ella, what have you been consuming this week?
I'm going to cheat this week. I'm going to give you two. I will listen to you briefly.
Okay.
But I just can't decide. And I mentioned one briefly last episode I said I would mention. But then I've got another one as well from this week. But Jumbo. Anyway, I'm going to stop waffling and just tell you. One, I've been watching The Bear on Disney Plus. So good. Absolutely love it. Really loved it, even though it's quite a stressful program. The premise is this amazing award-winning chef goes back to his hometown to take over his brother's restaurant because his brother's died. So it's him kind of trying to keep the restaurant up and running, and then they decide to kind of revamp the entire restaurant and turn it into like a proper fancy restaurant as opposed to just like a on your corner, whatever, Chicago restaurant. But very intense, quite stressful, but a really interesting program because they're all very interesting characters. It's a very kind of dysfunctional family. And there's one episode where I think the entire like first half of it is one continuous shot.
Oh, I love that.
All of these different chefs in the kitchen. And just the chaos of it. And it's just, it's really good. Because as well as it being a really kind of interesting story with interesting characters, it's shot in a really cool way as well. And yeah, and season two was really good because you got to go a little bit more in depth with some of the other characters. So highly recommend.
Nice.
And I can't have what I've been consuming without mentioning Hozier's new album, which today on the day of recording, Unreal Unearth. It's so good. Absolutely loved it. So moody, but also not. I don't know. Just really like, I saw it described as less folk and more like ethereal.
Yeah.
Like it's, and there's a really beautiful instrumental track in the middle as well. And you know how everyone was making jokes about the jump from Matilda to cinema?
Yeah.
In Harry's house.
Yeah.
There's like a version of that in this, which is the jump from The Butchered Tongue to All Right. It does the same sort of thing. But no, absolutely, absolutely loving it. It's even the song with Brandi Carlile as well.
Oh, really? That's really, yeah, cool. That's exciting.
Because that's like his, I think, the first ever song on one of his albums that has a collaborator in it. But yeah, I'm going to stop waffling now. So The Bear and Hozier, would highly recommend.
I am going to watch The Bear at some point.
Yeah, you should.
Everyone's talking about it.
Quite stressful and intense, but it is so good.
Yeah.
And I just loved it.
I'll eventually also listen to some Hosea for you. Because you've been so excited about this for so long. But like, we've kept up a running commentary of like, oh, when's it going to come out?
And now it's finally here. It's finally
Hey, Kerry, what have you been consuming this week?
I am going to do two as well. Because I recently read two poetry collections. I've been on a little poetry binge actually, because in the book I reread The Skies Everywhere, which I've spoken about before, and that's actually got poetry throughout it, but either side I read Couplets by Maggie Milner, and then I read what's it called, I don't know what's called in English, it's like 20 love poems and a song of something. But it's Pablo Neruda's famous poems, and I would say they're both about 3 stars, and I don't really recommend them, to be honest. Oh. So it's just, you've got things to watch and listen to from you. So I'm giving you yes to clear things. Not that they were bad, but I just wasn't blown away, and I heard such amazing things about both of them. Mm-hmm. And like, with Pablo Neruda, I was like, this is the best poetry to come out of the Spanish-speaking world since whenever. And I was like, oh my god, go on, I love me some poems, give it to me. It's like all this romance, and there were some lines where I was like, oh, that is so pretty, but the majority of it I was like, no, I'm nonplussed. Especially after reading Federico Garcia Lorca's poems, I was like, these are beautiful, these just don't come close. So yeah, sorry to the Pablo Neruda fans out there. And with Couplets, again, I was so excited because I love the idea that it tells a story, like how Sarah Crossan does through the poems. I was like, this is exactly up my street. Let's go. And it started off and I thought, oh, yeah, I can relate to that, all this dating stuff, or like being in love, that kind of thing. I was like, perfect. Let's go. And then it just... it got very philosophical the more it went on. And I was like, oh, if I wanted to read a philosophy thing, I would have read some of the, like, John Donne star.
Yeah.
Andrew Marvel, like, I don't know. I was like, oh, this was so down to earth, and now it's getting all extra. I mean, there is a place for that, but I just thought I was reading something that was going to be a love story through poems, and then it was all a bit much, so yeah, I didn't like them, but I loved reading those guys everywhere, so it's fine. So I had that 5 stars. Beautiful. Yeah, doesn't get old.
No, and it's nice when you reread an old book and it's still as good as it was when you first read.
And there were some quotes in there that I was like, oh my god, I love that, I want to fold over the page on that one. And I was like, do you know what? I didn't remember them from before, so I didn't used to love them. So I love now that I'm older, going back and reading it and getting different things from it.
That's always good. That's so lovely.
Yeah. I only wish in the past that I'd highlighted all my favourite bits and that, but you can't really tell. But I mean, I remember them. I think it's just because there's so many bits that I loved that I was like, oh, there's no point starting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I can see both of us try not to yawn.
It's terrible. Well. We shouldn't be this tired on Friday afternoon.
No, start the episode. What are we like?
Oh.
Oops.
Well, let's just jump straight in to talking about After Sun.
Yes.
2022 film written and directed by Charlotte Wells. And I believe it is her debut film because she won the BAFTA.
Yeah.
Best debut from a writer, director, or... oh, God, I had it up and now it's not up. British writer, director, or producer. And she was both a writer and director.
Wow.
And I believe this is a great debut film.
I didn't like it. I'm sorry. I didn't like it.
That's okay.
I had a feeling you were going to really like it and I wasn't going to.
I was watching it and I was a bit like, I don't know what... That's why I knew this would be interesting to talk about.
Because
I don't know what Kerry's going to make of this.
No, I definitely...
bit jumpy.
Yeah.
Is it not like it? It's not like a super smooth running story. You can't really see where it's going.
Mm. No, I want to unpack it with you though, because
yes,
I don't. I was like, oh no, I feel bad recording an episode being like, oh, I don't like really? It.
This is the joy of this, that we don't always have the same opinions about things, and we can see both sides. But even
more so, I was hoping you would like it, because I thought, why would people want to listen to a whole episode of something that at the end I'm like, yeah, actually don't watch it. But it's good because you can say like, yeah, but I definitely appreciate it. And because it's just not a straightforward film, it's not commercial at all. It's actively asking you to engage a bit and to deep everything.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I do want to talk to you about it, because I'm kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Let's summarize.
You have Callum and Sophie, father and daughter. She's 11. He's in his early 30s. And they're going on holiday together. And it's, you find out it's their last holiday that they went on together. And they're kind of videoing bits throughout on their little camcorder. And then, so you're seeing this holiday kind of interspersed with future Sophie. You only ever see like a few short little clips of future Sophie. So it's kind of like she's remembering this holiday that she was on with her dad when they were younger. And that's essentially it.
It's dad and daughter on holiday in Turkey.
Yeah, and he's trying to make sure that they have a great time, but they don't always see eye to eye with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good summary.
I don't know why I'm like holding back from spoilers, because I know there's no way we can talk about this without spoiling anything.
Yeah,
that it's not like it's working up to this big climax of something happening. Even though maybe arguably it is, but you never see the thing.
Yeah, I had a question about that. You have to try and
piece it together yourself.
Yeah.
But you're not quite given enough of the answers, but you're given enough to kind of come to a conclusion.
Yeah.
But you're never explicitly told. But I was still there bawling my eyes out.
Were you?
I was bawling.
Well, right at the end or throughout?
Towards the end part. Even when they were just saying goodbye to each other at the airport, it was a mess. It wasn't good.
That was my favourite part of the film, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And it's shot in a really interesting way, because there's a lot of reflections involved. There's a lot of times when you're... That time when they were in their hotel room and she was recording him on the camera, but the camera's hooked up to the telly... So you see the recording through the telly, but there's also a mirror on the wall and you can see them at points through the mirror, and then he turns off the TV and you just see their reflection in the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really cool. That's one of the things that I did like about the film is that having the camcorder, that is so fun.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting way. You don't normally see that in films. But no. I love those extra layers.
Yeah,
that was really cool. And I was like, do you know what, do you remember when we were little, did you have camcorder?
We did, but we rarely used it.
It came on special occasions and it was so fun. I loved it. But I don't remember like hooking it up to the TV.
No,
I don't know, but I thought that was really
before our time, because they weren't used as much, I think, when we were little.
No. But yeah, I love that, because as it turns out, it's a movie where she's looking back on her life. So it's cool that we know that with her looking back on it, she gets to like literally look back at it. And because it's also self-contained, the film, it's cool that they get to see themselves as well on the telly or in the mirror. Because it's very much like just about them too. So it's like just them, like their faces reflected back at them all around them.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is interesting.
So are we supposed to think that in the end when she's older, her dad's dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And I wasn't sure if he was dead or not.
I think that he dies quite shortly after their holiday. Because, do you want to know why?
Because of the sea.
Because of his shirt. You know when there's that bit where they do the, he's recording saying goodbye to her, and then the camera kind of pans around and you see her, old Sophie, sat on the sofa, and then the camera keeps on panning around and you see him in the airport with the camera.
Yeah.
Wearing the blue stripy shirt. When they've got those weird, like, kind of flashy, ravey type scenes where she's trying to find him, he's wearing the same shirt. Which makes me think, I don't know if I'm just overthinking this, maybe I'm just making something that's not there, makes me think that that's the last time she saw him is when she was saying goodbye to him at the airport. Because that's the last image of him that she has in her brain.
I just got goosebumps. That's so sad.
I know.
What? I did not realise.
But we'd have to ask Charlotte Wells. But that was just my assumption from that blue stripy shirt, that that was the last time she saw him. And that's why he's wearing that top in those rave scenes.
That would make sense.
But whether he accidentally dies, whether he commits suicide, I don't know.
I just googled after Sun Ending Explained, and they basically say that you're right, because he doesn't, because they say it's because he doesn't walk out into the open air.
He walks into, when he goes through the doors, he's walking into a dark room.
Yeah. I just thought, I was so naive, because I just thought, oh, he's dropped her off at the airport in Edinburgh, but he's walking to his connecting flight to London.
Well, no. And the thing is, though, he probably was, but they just symbolise that with, because that was her last moment of seeing him.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And that gives it maybe slightly more of a definitive ending than just having a clip of seeing him walk onto a different plane. I think it makes you realise that she never sees him again.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, because all I knew about this film before I started watching it was that it had all this Oscar buzz, and that it was a single dad and his daughter, and that it was really sad.
Mm.
And so I was so on edge the whole time. I was really nervous for what sad thing was going to happen. And then I got to the end and I thought, oh, that was all right. It wasn't really that sad. And then because I missed what happened, I was more disturbed if anything. Because I was worried about, so right at the end, that's when I was getting really confused and worried. Right.
There you go.
Explain it to me. So he just leaves her down there.
Yeah.
Which I was freaking out about, okay?
There were lots of mini moments like that. And I'm like, okay, this is not going to go well.
But, yeah. Mm. Like when he lets her go off with the older kids, I was like, so I was a bit like, but especially him leaving her down there at night, I was like, oh my god. And like him teaching her how to defend herself, so I thought, oh god, something's gonna happen now. And then turns out she was all right. But then when she was sat in the pool and then she kissed that other little boy, then I was like, oh my god, is he gonna do something bad to her?
Mm.
He didn't know, right?
No, he didn't.
Okay, because then she told her dad about it. And I was like, oh, well, I guess if she...
really sweet about all of that.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay, if she told him, then I presume, like, that was just how it was. But I was worried that it was something worse was happening when it faded away, so that's good. Mm. But then I thought that I was confused, yeah. So, like, did he walk into the sea?
He did, I think. And I, at that point, I was really worried that he was going to die at that point.
Yeah. trigger warnings, guys.
Yeah. But
at that point,
I don't know how to put this. I don't think that mentally he was in tip-top shape.
No, he wasn't.
There's definitely a better way of putting that. But I think he's definitely dealing with a lot in everything. Because I think part of us not really knowing that is because we are seeing and remembering through her.
Yeah.
So therefore we see a lot more of her experiences and her 11-year-old understanding of her dad. I think he's definitely had lots of interesting things to say, both about like memory and remembering, but also about parents and children and the relationships there and the different kind of levels of understanding and awareness of things.
Did he try to kill himself and then was like, oh no, I can't, well, Sophie's here?
I don't know.
So then he went, because why was he just naked on the bed?
Because I think that he just got really drunk. Like he wasn't having a great day and was kind of annoyed by their exchange and her with the karaoke thing.
Mm.
And then he just went for a midnight drunk swim. Definitely wasn't the most responsible parent in those.
No. Things. And then I was worried. I was like, is he going to do something to her? I was like, why am I automatically thinking the worst here?
You always jump to these, like, the worst conclusions.
I think it's just because I knew there was going to be a really sad film. So I was like, oh, and I was talking about A Little Life recently with my friend. So I think that was in my mind. So I was like, oh, my God, is he going to do something to her? And then he didn't. I was like, oh, you? But yeah, that whole night was really unsettling.
It was.
I didn't really get it. And I was like, how could you do that? But I suppose it's because he was super mentally ill at the time.
Yeah.
So that's that. Bless her, though. Or bless him.
Yeah, bless them both.
Yeah. One thing that I picked up on that I was like, interesting, is that it was like actually weirdly sexual, like with Sophie, like,
yeah, and the way you saw a lot of the world,
as in, like, you saw her watching, well, she listens into a conversation that some older girls are having about how they're like what bits they're doing with the guys they're seeing, and I was like, oh, okay, weird, leave it at that, but then it carries on and then she's watching
the pool
them
as well,
make it out in the pool and that.
Yeah.
And then she already is not being that other little boy. And I was like, what? I'm like, why is this so intentional? Is she 11? Yeah. Is that normal? Like at that age, does it start that early that you start thinking about sex?
I don't know.
I don't know. I can't really remember.
It's forever ago that we were 11 and I can't remember.
Yeah.
I wonder whether that's an attempt at trying to show the gap and the difference and the kind of lack of understanding, but the wanting to understand, and the kind of the gap between child and adult, because she is very much a child. It would have been a very different film if she was 14,
yeah,
as opposed to 11.
Yeah.
I wonder whether that was a way of showing the difference between the adult and child world in that way. Because even though, like you say, she's still listening in on these conversations or watching them in the pool or whatever, she's still very innocent and doesn't understand, doesn't quite get it.
No. Mm.
And I do wonder whether that just shows that kind of leap that she can't branch to connect with her dad because she's so young, or vice versa. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That does make sense. Maybe, yeah, it's just a vehicle of showing her trying to grow up and emphasizing again that she's trying to be the adult out of the two of them, and he's maybe a little bit more childlike. Well, not entirely, but
he definitely has those moments.
Yeah, he's a bit more excessive. He's buying a 850 quid rug.
Yeah.
Whereas she's like, oh, no, please stop offering to buy me things you can't afford.
Mm.
And having to sort out getting the room key for herself.
Yeah.
And she is very perceptive.
Yeah, she is, definitely.
Yeah. Like, when she asks Dad, why do you say love you to Mum?
Yeah, that was,
which I also think is weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is, like you say, it's a bit weird, but then his logic of it made so much sense in a way. But I was still like, and it makes you just ask so many questions about what the parents' relationship was. Mm. And where they're both at now.
It's a weird one because we've just jumped into the middle of the story.
Yeah.
And so we don't know anything. There's so many unanswered questions, which is intentional.
The whole film is unanswered questions.
Yeah, but so what is their relationship? What's going on?
Because they must have both been very young.
Because that's another story. What happened when they were younger?
Exactly, because he's only 32 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And she's 11, so he was literally just in his 20s. So it's whether, I don't know, the parents were ever together or not, or whether just, I don't know, their lives have just changed so much. I don't know.
Mm. It's interesting, he said he didn't think he'd make it to 30. And it's like, God, I don't know that I'll make it to 40. I didn't take that in a suicidal way. I just thought, because he said that he came from a difficult background.
Yeah, because I think he had, and he even mentions that at some point.
Like his family not remembering his birthday and him saying to Sophie, whatever you do, I've done it all, so like, just talk to me about it.
Yeah. So it's definitely a kind of troubled past.
Yeah.
With him.
Mm.
But no, and there was one point where he did make that comment about not thinking he'd make it to 30. And I was like, oh my God, has he got some kind of terminal illness?
Did he just grow up in an area where like there were loads of druggies, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's definitely the more kind of logical sound.
Yeah. But now I'm like, oh my God, because he died.
I do wonder whether he was depressed as well.
Yeah.
But then it's really enough to be able to tell whether he was or not. But there's definitely something going on.
Mm. It's so true what you said about, we just don't know, because it's all told through Sophie's perspective of him, and she doesn't know when she's a child. So,
yeah.
I don't know, because how much do we see of him by himself?
We see at the very end, obviously him with the camera, before that, he's crying.
Mm.
But you just see his back as he's crying. I'm trying to think of any other moments where it is just him. There's one moment where he stood on top of the railings of the balcony. Mm. And you often see him doing his kind of like Tai Chi type thing.
Yeah.
By himself. But they're all moments that you could have, apart from maybe that one of him crying, because I can't imagine that would have been, she would have been there. Unless she was, I don't know. They're all very much.
Unless now she imagines that happened.
Because that's the thing, you can't tell what's imagined and what's real.
Yeah, I was just getting confused with the jumping around between the rave sequences. Mm. Because you can't even really see who's there. Between that and then showing her when she's older, because they didn't really show it that much. I was like, hang on, where are we? But I think now I get it, now I know that he died. That it, maybe like those were more her dreams of seeing him there, like him, that being the final image.
Yeah.
And then thinking back to like them watching parts of it, but it's just not very obvious when it changes.
Yeah. it's almost like she also, well, I think obviously she also doesn't know or doesn't have the answers to a lot of the things about him.
No.
And it's almost like that's kind of plagued her life in a way, to the extent where she's sat there re-watching clips of them on their last holiday in the middle of the night on her birthday. It's really sad.
It's really sad. Yeah. I definitely got the vibe that he had died. I just didn't realise how soon.
Yeah. Well, it's not very obvious, because it could have been a long time afterwards, because you don't know how often they see each other, because obviously she's up in Edinburgh, he was down in London. He seemed to be constantly kind of trying to start these new job things or whatever he was doing. So there was that instability as well.
Did you find the entire film slightly ominous?
Yeah, definitely. I think you're constantly... because the pace is very similar throughout. And you're kind of constantly waiting for, like, the shoe to drop, or you to understand something, or something big to happen. But it's just a collection of moments, and you're kind of thinking, okay, what's happening? Because you only see, like, the little bits of the kind of, not darkness, because that's maybe too strong a word. You know, it's not all plain sailing and happy families.
We didn't know what genre it was. It's not like with, when you watch a rom-com, you know it's not going to be plain sailing. There's going to be conflict. Yeah. You know it's going to just be one cheats on the other, or they have an argument, and then they get back together at the end. Or at least even with a thriller, you know someone's going to die, but you're expecting that. But I just wasn't really sure what the vibe was with this, where it was heading. So I felt a bit on edge, because we were just watching all these everyday moments.
Yeah.
But I felt like we were waiting for something.
It's almost like litfic in film form.
Oh, it is so litfic. You're so right. But I think it was worrying in that surely we can't just watch all of these everyday moments without something deeper going on. So it's like, oh no, what are we heading towards? And turns out we're heading towards him dying. So I knew something dodgy was happening.
Yeah, it's definitely one of these films that just gives you more and more questions. I think thinking about what's real and what's imagined is interesting, but it's so hard to pinpoint those moments.
I think throughout this a motif holding your breath, and so obviously maybe this is a stretch, but when you hold your breath and you start going all faint and dizzy, I feel like it has that feeling throughout it, that it's all kind of breathless and fuzzy. Even just with when you think of like sunlight streaming through, it's kind of like, you know how sometimes you just get a stream of light and you can see all the dust in it. That kind of
like quite grainy,
or even like with the cameras, it's all kind of hazy, it all, like they're submerged a lot, it's all quite oppressive. It doesn't feel light, like maybe also because of their clothes, they're fully free in their clothes. Maybe it's just because it's the 80s, but maybe all the fashion.
But no, that is an interesting point. And I think definitely very much a motif and a theme running throughout.
Oh my God, I just thought, you know when they play water polo, and then there's that shot of her not being able to get any of the shots in. So sad, because same, hon.
Yeah.
But she's all by herself, and I just thought, looking back on it, knowing what I know now, that song, I don't know. it was preparing her for being all alone at the end. Like, she's already losing him. She already feels alone with him.
Yeah, because there are moments where he's trying trying to help her like feel involved or enjoy things, but it just, it's like his ideas of it don't align with hers, because like you say, in that, I think that water polo scene is a really good example of that, because it's just her surrounded by all these other grown-ups playing and shouting to each other, him attempting to involve her, but not much, and it's just her looking a little bit kind of lost. Yeah,
she definitely, even from the start, has to fend for herself.
Yeah,
because say even with the sun cream, she tries to put it on and doesn't want him to help her.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's that kind of wanting that independence and to not be kind of constrained by being a child at those points, but then still needing that adult influence and help, but the two of them maybe not knowing exactly the right way of being able to be there for each other. Interesting.
We haven't done game time yet.
We haven't. Should we do game time?
Yeah.
And we can round up with some fun thoughts.
Yeah. It's game time. Okay. Well, we're lighting the mood a little bit, and yeah, we're going to do Would You Rather Holiday Edition.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got 110 questions for you.
Oof. Hope you guys have some beverages and some snacks to keep you company.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Would you rather be able to understand and speak every language in the world, or be able to teleport anywhere at any time?
Oh, the language thing, 100%.
Yeah. You probably could teleport anywhere at any time. Well, not teleport, but if you could speak every language in the world.
You've unlocked every single door in the world ever.
You would probably be invited to go on a lot of business trips around the world. Definitely,
you would be the most sought after translator or like negotiator or just anything.
You'd be getting a lot of free traveling around, so it's, yeah, chill.
Yeah, so that would be absolutely insane to be
able to. Ooh, would you rather only travel domestically for the rest of your life, or only travel internationally and never see anything else in your own country outside of the town you live in?
I think I'd have to say only travel internationally.
Oh.
Just because, think of how massive the world is. And yeah, okay, there are lovely parts of England. The UK can be great.
Hmm.
But the idea of never being able to go anywhere but the UK feels like it would be putting me in a little box I don't want to be in.
It just depends, because when it says you can't go outside of your town, can you still, so you couldn't go and say, we couldn't go and stay with Ella for a long weekend and go and do things around Leicester?
Maybe not.
Or does it mean you couldn't,
if the parameters meant that you could go to your friend's hometowns and that was fine, then that's even more of a reason to go international.
I'll just have to, whenever I want to go visit someone, I'll just have to get someone to move there.
Or you just say, hey, let's go to Paris for the weekend.
True. Would you rather see the Northern Lights in Norway or swim with whale sharks in the Philippines?
Oh, that's hard, because they would both be awesome.
I want to see the Northern Lights.
Yeah, because I think that would be a bit more of a comfortable, fun experience. And yeah, to be able to swim with whale sharks would be amazing. But whale sharks are called whale sharks for a reason. They are ginormous.
Mm.
Like, they are, I think, the biggest shark.
Yeah.
And I think you maybe wouldn't be able to appreciate the scenes in the same way swimming with whale sharks than being wrapped up in your big puffy coat looking at the Northern Lights. Like, that would just be amazing.
Imagine how cute it would be in your puffy jackets with your hot chocolate. Well, actually, I'm sure it's not quite like that, but it could be.
I'm sure it could be like that, depending on where you are.
I definitely do that.
Yeah.
I want to do that at one point in my life in the winter near Christmas time. Yeah. I'm sure it gets really expensive then.
But I'm sure you could find some good, slightly off the beaten track places to go to. So not the ones that advertise, oh, come here for the Northern Lights. Because if you're in a certain area of Canada or Iceland or kind of Norway, yeah, Sweden, all of that, you would be able to see them. So, but yeah, that would be so cool. Definitely a bucket list thing, for sure.
This is a good one. Would you rather do a 6-month road trip through Europe or a 6-month road trip through the Americas?
I think without thinking very much, I'd have to say Europe. What would you say?
Well, I read the question wrong initially, and I thought it was through Europe or through the US. And I was thinking I'd rather go through the US. But if that means this is a trip through, like, Central and South America, I'd rather go to Europe.
Yeah, because I think, it would still be interesting, that part of America. So I think Europe is a bit more doable in 6 months to be able to properly kind of see and explore different places. Because obviously the Americas is on such a bigger scale than Europe.
Mm.
It probably would take you about 6 months just to drive from, say, like Alaska all the way down to the tip of South America.
Really? Mm. Yeah. I was thinking just I'd worry going through Europe. I'm like, oh no, I can't speak the languages. It stresses me out.
Yeah.
But no, I'm sure it would be fine, but
that's why we'd also have to have the first question. Do they all exist in the universe, right?
Yeah. I would say in Europe it feels more familiar, which is for that duration of time, I'd be most comfortable being in Europe.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Okay, let's do one more.
Yikes.
Oh, okay. Would you rather travel for a month every year to only winter destinations, or travel for a month only every 3 years but to summer destinations?
My logic on this is every year in winter destinations, because if in this logic winter destinations means it's winter,
yeah,
meaning you could go to Australia in their winter.
Yeah, do they mean,
or do they just mean things like Finland and Iceland and
you can literally go to Lapland? Is that what they mean? Or do they mean go on holiday
in the winter? I don't know.
Because if it depends, because if it means you can only go to Lapland or Canada every year, I'm going to get so bored of that. So I'd rather save up and just wait and go once every 3 years.
But if it means it's just winter in the country when you happen just to go,
yeah, then that's fine.
So much of the world,
I don't mind, as long as I get to visit different places.
Yeah, same.
Mm.
We need some clarification on what's a winter destination.
Yes, please. Because I really want to go to New York in winter.
Oh, that would be incredible.
I want to do a U and go around the Christmas markets in Germany.
You so should. They're so good. I'm going to miss that this year.
Mm-hmm.
I missed it last year, actually, as well. Sad times. That was fun, though.
That was?
After sun. What do we have to say? Go back to the summer.
It didn't look like Paul Mescal in it. Hot take. What were you ooing at?
No, I was going to oo because I was going to say, what do you think the reception of the film would have been like, or the watchership? What's the watcher version of readership? Audience. What that would be like if it wasn't Paul. But I get what you mean about him not looking like him.
Yeah, I don't know why, but he didn't. I want to talk about his cast, as in his arm, not the movie cast.
Yes.
I was thinking this at the end, right? Did we watch it because Paul Mescal was in it? 100%.
Did all the other people who watched it watch it because he was in it? And I wonder how, because it was a nominee. Oh no, because he was the only Oscar nominee for this film.
Mm.
He got the Oscar nomination. The film didn't receive any other Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
So did everyone else just watch it because of him? But then that's not to say it's not a good film, because I think it is a good film and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's but really interesting to think how many people wouldn't have watched this if it wasn't him.
No. Okay, so for instance, I would not have watched this if he wasn't in it.
Mm.
But it was something like Conversations with Friends. I know he wasn't in it, but just theory. I would watch that. No matter who was it. Well, and then I don't know, because that obviously was a book.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So I'm wondering, like, would, because I was kind of like, I don't really recommend it personally unless you're like big Paul Mescal fan. Like, is that why it got the hype or not? I don't know. I'm just not really used to watching that, not quite indie, but just not super commercial entertaining films, so I don't really know how to judge it. The only ones that I would watch like that are really Wes Anderson ones, but then they're so beautiful and colourful.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean, because I do think for all extensive purposes this is an indie film.
Mm.
Very much so, because I mean it's not any of the big film companies, whatever they are.
Studios.
But even then I do wonder whether, if he wasn't in it, even in like the indie film, you know, realm, whether there would have been as much buzz around it. Maybe, because maybe you don't often see kind of this father-daughter dynamic in films, which I think is quite a new, fresh idea and story to tell.
Yeah.
That maybe hasn't really been told before, but I do think a lot of it has come from him being in it. But that's no bad thing, because I think that means that more people are watching these kind of indie, not these big kind of streaming giants or these big kind of MGM made movie films and things. I think that's a great thing, because I think that's where a lot more of this originality and creativity comes from. Sorry, I'm just waffling.
No, I'm saying I
don't know.
Different point slightly, but just because I thought of it, the cast, I'm not thinking, did he break his wrist doing something reckless and potentially life-ending or not?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe, because he doesn't actually say. The only time they mention it is when she asks whether it hurt if he broke his wrist.
Or is it just a...
Or is that just a kind of character trait that maybe he does do these kind of maybe reckless things, maybe doesn't really think through.
Or is it just a symbol of him being fragile?
I think that as well, definitely. That symbol of him not being this kind of perfect, pristine. And there's that idea of...
Yeah.
Children's view of their parents, and children expecting their parents to be these kind of perfect people, but in this we see her seeing some of his flaws, even when he doesn't want her to.
Right. Another thing I just thought of why it's so indie-esque is I feel as though there were more continuous shots in this, because I was painting at the same time. And I found that I couldn't look away. It was really difficult to do anything else, which isn't a criticism, because obviously you're supposed to just be watching it, but I do this with all films. Because so much happens without dialogue.
Yeah, and even when there is dialogue, like you say, it's just a like singular shot. Like if we go back to that scene with the TV in the mirror, that's a decent length scene. And there is no camera movement, apart from the camcorder stuff, which is on the telly.
They just really linger. Like, when he's
crying. It just stays there for ages.
And it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah. Which I know is intentional, but they do that so many times. The camera just stays and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's always like you're wanting to look away or look around, but you physically can't. You and can only see what you're being given.
Mm.
And I think it also then brings it back to the not knowing and the not having the answers and not being able to find them by not being given access to seeing certain things. I think that links in with the whole memory and remembering and the kind of gaps in that, and why it maybe feels like it jumps a little bit between scenes.
A final thought from me.
Yeah.
They did so much on that holiday.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm so boring on holiday because I don't know. We didn't really go on holiday when I was little abroad.
Mm.
So I don't know. Like, if we just sit by the pool, but maybe that's a kid's thing. But they were constantly going out and doing stuff.
Sightseeing, scuba diving.
Also, then I thought he's going to die scuba diving because he's another license.
Yeah, and when she was doing that kind of video thing, she was like, "Oh yeah, he told a porcupine about him being able to do this," and I was like, "Oh god, don't."
But I thought he can't die yet because we're not that far into the film, and there's definitely the dancing scene to come that is on Graham Norton's.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, unless I was like time jump. No.
No. Don't watch it if you don't like not knowing things. I mean, obviously, if you've made it this far, you've either just already watched it or decided that you don't want to. So, kind of not needed for me to say this.
Yeah. I think that's a good summation, though. It's a film that I'm not saying it's a bad film.
Mm.
This isn't for me. I think it just very much depends on your taste. Like, objectively, yeah, there's a lot of cool techniques in it.
Mm.
If you're a Paul Mescal fan, go for it. If you're indie films fan, go for it.
Yeah.
If you want something more fast-paced and straightforward, maybe not.
Something else.
Mm. Like, tonight, I have a real urge to watch Red, White and Royal Blue.
I've seen a lot of it. It's always right there when I turn on Amazon Prime. It's right there.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I thought, and then I don't want to watch that written because I never read it.
Mm.
I just was like, ew, that's too much for me now. But my friend's friend's in it, so I'm intrigued.
Wow.
Because it keeps coming up on Prime. And I just want to watch something where I don't have to think.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should watch it. But at the same time, my friend Finn watched the first half and she's like, even for her, I think she's got higher tolerance than I do for
Robin. Okay.
She was like, God, it was just too... She's like, no, it's embarrassing.
Be interesting to see what you make of it then.
I don't know. I think I will put it on because I just want to do some bits and bobs so it's a nice background thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you need that, don't you?
Mm. I mean, me saying this at the end really discredits everything I've said, because that's the kind of person I am. I would rather watch that.
And that's okay. You're allowed to watch what you want to watch.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah, this is a film that I wouldn't run to watch it again instantly, but I think it's one of those that I'm not ruling it out that I wouldn't watch it again. Like, I wouldn't outright say no.
No.
I quite like an emotional, interesting, thinky film.
I am glad I saw it.
Yeah. There we go.
Blum moment.
Doo doo.
Yeah, I think you already kind of did this.
Okay, that's fine. You can.
Because you did the Lionesses before. Right.
But I feel like it's.
Because now in the final. Oh my god, by the time this comes out, we could be world champions.
We could be world champions.
Because we're recording 2 days before the final.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do a bit more research into them, because now that they're all over the news, and I have not,
I've not been watching anything.
Likewise.
And my colleague was like, yeah, oh my god, we're in the final on Sunday. I was like, what? Okay.
First time since like the 60s.
Yeah. In the 60s.
Just England in general being in the World Cup final.
Yeah. But I just thought, well, I found three blonde girls in it. So I was like, yes, love that. Hannah Hampton got Mel Brighty, I think's her name. Why am I doing this? And Alex Greenwood. And what is really cool about Alex, I don't know if this is well known or not, seeing as I know nothing about football, but she's also a vocal campaigner against online hate crime. And she shared how trolling has affected both her performance and mental health in the past.
Oh, wow.
I love from her.
Yeah, we love to see people using their platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you said before when you gave Blonde Moment to Lionesses that obviously very well deserved, because I mean, I think women in football is so powerful and never gets old. Like, yeah. I still think it's kind of groundbreaking, because yeah. Even growing up, like, no, that just wasn't a thing. Like, girls never.
No, definitely. Yeah, so it's amazing to think of all the young girls who are growing up now and seeing these women doing such amazing things in football. Yeah.
And even if it's not for me, it's super cool that everyone in the country is rallying around these women.
Yeah,
I loved that, and that's super cool. What I read up about Alex as well.
That's amazing. So when you'll be listening to this, we'll all know whether we won or not. We've got everything crossed at the moment.
So. Do you think we actually will?
No, I just have no idea.
I bet we won't make
like an informed decision, because I don't
know. I'm going to say no, because that's what my family told me. So I'm going to trust them. But I also thought, surely not, because we just don't ever win anything. Don't ever win Eurovision. I know it's a completely different thing.
We won
the Euros, didn't we? But I feel like, I don't know. I'm going to stop talking now. This isn't my area.
Yeah. We don't know.
No. So next week.
Yes.
Oh, well. Next week, but next 2 weeks.
Yes.
We will be back with Emma.
Emma.
Oh.
Going to be talking about. Kind of just talking in general about Emma, the book, and probably the two most well-known, if not the only film versions, Gwyneth Paltrow and
Anna Taylor-Joy.
Which, and I think that's a very good adaptation of it.
But
we're gonna have some fun discussions about that, so that's just giving you everything you need to know for next time. So get reading. You've got 2 weeks to read Emma. See you then.
Thanks for listening to 2 o'clock with Keller.
Join us next time for more.